In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The gospel passage we heard today continues where the gospel passage on Friday left off, according to the schedule we have in our liturgy. So, we heard the first words. John told us this is happening on the last day of the feast, where Jesus stands up and proclaims that people should come to him, and when they do, they will have rivers of living water flowing from their hearts. So what's happening on this feast day? Why is this detail there? The feast that was being celebrated here was called the Feast of Tabernacles in the Jewish tradition, also called the Feast of Booths. Why? Because on this feast day, the Jews would gather to make a memorial, to be thankful for God's providence that they experienced during their exodus, during their journey through the wilderness, from being slaves in Egypt towards the promised land. And on this journey, they felt God's guidance and God's direction, despite all the times they turned away from God, all the times they turned towards other gods, all the times they complained about God. But God's providence was still there. God's love and guidance was still there. And on this day, they set that day apart to memorialize this, to be thankful for this. What does that have to do with what Jesus is saying? Why would Jesus get up and say this on the last day, the most important day of this feast? If any Jews were around in this audience that were very familiar with the Old Testament, as soon as Jesus mentioned living water, one thing that should have come to their minds, and probably did, because as we see, they're saying, even guards employed by the Jews were saying, no, we've never heard anyone speak like this before. We've never heard anyone refer to themselves like this before. Anyone that would have referred to themselves as a source of living water would have triggered in the minds of faithful Jews this incident, especially because on this day they're remembering the Exodus, this incident on that journey where the Jews complained to Moses about this whole journey. They questioned God. They questioned his guidance, his providence, his plan. And they said to Moses, "Why have you brought us out here? At least when we were in Egypt, even though we were slaves, we had food to eat and water to drink." And so in that situation, God communicates to Moses to go forward, to strike a rock with his staff, and out of that rock flows living water. That water satisfied their physical thirst. Jesus is now saying that it's not some physical rock where the source of this water is going to come from. On this day where they're remembering this event, among other events, Jesus is saying he is the source of living water. Now a person is the source of living water. Not a physical rock, but the rock which the church is built on is now the source of living water. Jesus himself. Brothers and sisters, we all know that without water, life can't exist as we know it. Where there's no H2O, or there's no water, there literally isn't life. So we need water. Water sustains us, nourishes us, keeps us alive, keeps us going. That's physically speaking. Jesus is telling us that's not all there is to the human being. There's more that a human being needs to be sustained by. Living water. Water that's moving. Water that's at work. So for me and you today, we really need to ask ourselves, are we going to Christ for this water? No matter who we are, no matter what we do, moms or dads or children in the family, whatever jobs we have, whatever kind of relationships we have, no matter who we are, all of us, deep down, have recognized at least to some extent what Jesus is saying. That no matter how good our friends are, no matter how healthy our family is, no matter how successful we might be, that's not enough to satisfy the thirst of the human being, the thirst that completes the human being, that fulfills the human being. Because there's a lot of good things in this life. No one's denying that. But there's more. Jesus is saying there's more. And he is that extra bit, that essential bit that we all need. A lot of us can know about God with the use of our reason. Most of us, if we think about it, if we sit by ourselves and think about it for a long enough time, we'll be able to get to the point where we say, yeah, there's probably a God that created this world, and it's probably one God. And maybe he's even intelligent. But that's with our reason. Our reason alone can't tell us that God is a father. Our reason alone can't tell us that God has a plan. Our reason alone can't tell us that God cares. Our reason alone can't tell us that God exists as a Trinity. Our reason alone can't tell us that God loves so much, so infinitely, that he's willing to become part of his creation. As crazy as that sounds. Brothers and sisters, for us to have our thirst satisfied, for us to sit down, similarly to how the Jews were sitting down on this feast and remembering God's providence, we need to go to Scripture. Scripture is essential. Without Scripture, just like without water, there's no life for a Christian. There's no sustenance for a Christian. There's no guidance for a Christian. There's no source of truth for a Christian. It's why the church, definitively, according to its teachings, is built on the two legs of tradition on one hand, but that tradition comes from what's organically derived from Scripture. Organically derived from what God has shown to mankind and what Jesus has said and done. Brothers and sisters, it's not just about stuff that happened. The Old Testament is not just about stuff that happened. All of it points to Christ. And without it, no matter who you are or what you think you know, you don't understand Christ fully. If you don't understand the relationship that God had with the first man and the first woman, that God had with the patriarchs, if you don't understand what the prophets spoke of, where Israel failed, where some Israelites were righteous, we can't understand the map that leads to Jesus. Jesus is then just this isolated figure in the New Testament. The things that happen in the Old Testament, the things that Jesus talks about and points to in the New Testament, they didn't just happen. They're always happening. This fountain of living water, this fountain of living water called Scripture, is essential for all of us to stay nourished, to stay sustained, to stay directed by God's love, by God's providence, by God's wisdom, to stay involved in his life for the sake of our own lives. We see some people are convinced in the audience after what Jesus says that he is the Messiah. And then some of them, the soldiers, go to some of the chief priests and Pharisees. We think this is him. We think what he's saying is true. We think what he's saying is profound and can change us. And then the Pharisees reply with what? Shallow, superficial questions. Oh, he's from Galilee. He can't be a prophet because there's no prophecy about a Messiah from Galilee. You know why that's a superficial question? You know why that's not a real question, a sincere question? Because they reject Jesus for so many other reasons and not just for that reason. That just shows you who some of the Pharisees are. Let's not be like that. We might be faithful enough to say that God exists and that he even became man and died on the cross for the redemption of the sins of mankind, but that's not enough to understand God's heart. That's not enough to be guided by God, to conform our will to his will so that we can be fulfilled, so our thirst can be satisfied. It takes work to be a fountain of living water. And that work means going to the source. That means going to one of the legs that the church is built on, which is Scripture. There's a reason Scripture is opened and proclaimed and meditated on at every Mass, because it's not just in the Eucharist that we receive Christ. Although that is the greatest way, the climax of receiving Christ, we also receive him in a very real way in Scripture, because it's through Scripture that the Church can know the heart of its Creator, that the Church can know the heart of its Bridegroom. So brothers and sisters, while we thirst in this world because of a lack of fulfillment, a lack of completion, a lack of sustenance and direction and true wisdom, let's not forget that we have this as the fountain of living water. Let's go to it, be nourished by it, so that we in turn can become channels of that same living water. Amen.